Mark 11, let's look at just one verse, but you'll see the context. The context is that Jesus has cursed a fig tree. They went into the town, and they came back out, and when they came back out, they saw that the fig tree had rotted. It was completely dried up to the roots, and the disciples are looking at that, and they're just amazed. How could that happen? This tree that should have produced some fruit by now has just dried up completely. And Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. And then he told them, if you have faith in God, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and it'll be done. And this verse is the text for this morning, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. God, you've given us so many precious promises concerning prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've designed prayer so that we could spend time with you. Lord, you work in our lives to bring us to your feet, to the altar of prayer. I'm glad that you love to hear from us. You said that you're our Father, which is in heaven, that we're your children. And I just pray, God, this morning you would be pleased to help us. We need the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding. Lord, show us in context and in light of other passages what you mean with these truths. And then, God, help us to make the right application. And, Lord, please help us to be men and women of prayer. Lord, help us to pray more. Help us to pray more correctly. And, Lord, bless us that we would have even more experiences with faith in prayer because of the work that you do in our hearts this morning in this service. And we'll thank you for it because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Mark records this amazing event, miraculous to the point that these disciples are just amazed that God would so speedily answer the prayer of his son. Jesus makes it clear that prayer is dependent upon faith. In fact, the Bible encourages us to be mindful of this, that when we pray, that we need to pray with confidence that God is hearing us and that God is answering us. We will have the petition that we have asked of him. In James chapter 1, you may remember, James makes this clear when he is encouraging us to pray for wisdom. He said you're in different temptations and difficulties, and when you pray for wisdom, make sure that you pray in faith. Because, James said, if you don't pray believing that God is going to give you wisdom, then you will not receive an answer from God. Listen to how he says this in James 1, verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave. That's someone who's doubting, is God going to do it? Maybe not. Maybe so. Maybe not. Wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And then notice what he says in verse 7 there. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He just said to us that if we ask for faith, our wisdom, that he would give it to us liberally and would not upbraid us for asking. And then he puts a condition on that. But if you're going to ask, you better ask believing, because if you don't ask in confidence that I'm going to answer, then I will not answer. I think a lot of times our our struggle in prayer is because we're not really expecting an answer to what we're praying about. We pray more generically. And listen to me, sometimes that's important to pray generically when you don't have a sense of God's specific will. You can't do any more than pray generically. You see that? You understand that? But when you know what His will is, there should be some certainty in our prayers. When we know what His will is, there should be an expectation of an answer to our prayers. James would go on to say in James chapter 5 concerning praying for those that are sick. He gives us Elijah's example of a man of prayer when he prayed for the rain not to fall, and then he prayed for the rain to fall. And then he encourages us that we also can pray, because that Elijah was just a man of like passions. But before he makes that comment, he says this in verse 15. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And again, James is saying, now listen, when you pray, you need to pray with expectation and with belief. And you see this all throughout the ministry of Jesus. When Jesus is going to heal someone, one of the things that he asks them more than any other thing is, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe that I can do this? How often does Jesus do that? They say, Lord, I've got leprosy. He said, well, what do you want? Do you heal us of our leprosy? Do you believe I can do this? Let me give an example of this in Matthew chapter number 9. There were two men that were blind and they were following Jesus. Two men that were blind and they were following Jesus, and they asked the Lord that he might heal them. That's Matthew chapter 9, I believe verse 28 and 29. Yeah. I'll read verse 27 with it. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? Now let me tell you something, that's an astonishing question. Okay. Had they ever heard of any other blind men having their sight recovered? While Jesus was there, they might have heard of some, but I mean, this is extremely unusual, right? Jesus, could you give us our sight? And Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? Now, what do you think would happen if they said, well, no, Lord, I don't really think you can do this? Do you think they'd have walked away with vision? Seeing? Now, listen, I want you to think about your prayer life, or when you ask for things from God. Do you believe that He is going to do it? See, I think sometimes when we pray, it's just kind of a, you know, Lord, here it is. Yeah. Do with it whatever you want to. That may be why we're not receiving the answers that we greatly desire, because we're really not expecting an answer. And then notice what they said to Jesus when he said, do you believe that I can do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord, or yes, Lord. I believe that. And notice how the next thing Jesus says. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to what? Your faith, be it unto you. Now, that's not just there, so you and I could say, that's interesting. I'm glad that these men had faith. That's there so that you and I also could see that what our Lord is expecting from us is that we expect an answer from Him.
Exactly.
And that if we don't get an answer from him, we should say, Lord, what's going on? You've told me to ask. You said if I ask, I would receive. And so, is there something I need to know about this situation so I can pray more according to your will? But I'm afraid a lot of times we pray and we pray and we pray, and it's much like praying over a meal or just praying rote prayers. And we don't have a list, or we're checking off. God answered that one. He answered this one. He answered this one. He answered this one. He answered this one. Amen? And maybe that's why we're not seeing many great answers to prayer, because we're really not expecting God to do what we're asking him to do. Let me mention to you just a problem before we get into the prayer of faith. The problem is sometimes, if you don't look at a passage in its context, you'll have a misunderstanding of what Jesus really wants us to understand in his word. God doesn't always give us everything we ask for. And we know that because we don't give our children everything they ask for. Right? So it's not saying that, you know, you're sitting there praying, Lord, I want this. And God knows it's not good for you to have that. Then he may not give you that you're asking for. Amen? Amen. And you say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, you get that in the other passages that Jesus talks about when he talks about prayer. Remember, one of them is James 4 and verse 2. You have not because you ask not. That's a problem. And then what's the next one? You receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. So sometimes what we're asking for may not be what he wants to do at all. And we need to try to discern what that is. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But sometimes there's a misunderstanding, because people think that you and I can order God or command God to do something. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11, it says this: ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. And some people read that and say, see there, preacher, you can command God. You can say, God, do this. You said command you, and I'm going to command you. I'm ordering you to do this. Now listen, when I say it that way, you kind of sense, don't you? Wait a minute, preacher. Your roles are getting reversed here. You don't order God, he orders you. You don't command God, he commands you. And translate this as a question. It's not written in the Bible as a question, but I do think what he's saying in the context is, if you look at the context, I'm God and I'm in charge. Now I want you to ask things concerning the work of my hands. Don't miss that before you get to command ye me. It's concerning the work of my hands. It's just as similar to what Jesus said when he said to us, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask in my name and I will give it to you. In John chapter 14. And by the way, in my name doesn't mean at the end of your prayer you say in Jesus' name. So that means everything I asked for was for his cause and his kingdom. That's what in his name means. Lord, in your stead, I'm in your body in the world. And if you were here, you would want this. So grant me this. That's what praying in his name really means. It don't mean that we just add that to our prayer. It means I'm here commissioned to do your work, the work of your hands. Lord, show me what your will is and let us have this that we need to do your work. Amen. And so it's in that context that Isaiah's writing, command ye me. We can't command God. By the way, wouldn't we live in a messed up world if everybody's trying to order God around. And then, and likewise, in Proverbs 18:21, this verse says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Now, that verse doesn't mean that what I say comes to pass. It can't mean that, right? Have you heard someone said, "Hey, it's raining cats and dogs"?
Okay.
If that's what, if what it, what I say, I've got the power of it in my tongue, and guess what's going to happen outside? Stay inside for a while, because it's going to be a bloody mess outside, right? It's not, I don't, by me saying something, I don't force God to do something because I announced something or said something. That's not what that text is talking about. What's, and by the way, wouldn't it be, here's someone saying, "Rain!" And here's someone over there saying, "No rain!" You know, if you just examine these texts a little bit, you know that's not how these things work, right? Just because you announce something don't mean that God is obligated to do it. You know what verse is saying? That verse is saying that you have the power to either kill someone or build them up. You have the power to bless them, encourage them, or destroy them. Y'all remember that we used to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." That lie came out of hell itself, because that's not true. You know how many young children have had their lives just ruined because their parents constantly told them, "You're not very bright, you're dumb, you'll never do anything." Or they just start taking that on, saying, "Yeah, you know, that's true about me." That's not. And you can do the same thing in marriages, right? Instead of lovingly edifying and building up and encouraging one another and supporting one another and backing one another, if you're always attacking and criticizing and complaining, guess what you're doing in that marriage? You are driving a death knell in your marriage. So that verse is not saying that whatever I announce with my mouth is going to come to pass. It's saying what you say will harm people or it will help people. So you'll receive the fruit of helping people if you use those words rightly. That's what he's trying to get across. And you need to know that, because neither one of those things are the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not, "I command you, God, to do this." Isaiah 45:11 said I could. The prayer of faith is not this either. "I announce it, and so it has to happen." That's not the prayer of faith either. So what is the prayer of faith? I've had to recently examine this. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 5. I've got into a discussion with my wife, who's praying for my healing. And she is really just kind of set back, that it looks like instead of going forward, we're back to square one. And one of the questions she asked me recently is, then why should we bother to pray if God is only going to do His will? If God's only going to do His will, it really doesn't matter then if we pray or not. Let me just ask you to think about that before you criticize it too much, because I had to think about it quite a bit. This is what John says. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, have confidence that you're going to have an answer. This is how John teaches this in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. It says this, and this is the confidence, this is the faith that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, listen to these words, according to His will, He heareth us. And notice this. Notice this next verse. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to get these men. Have faith in God. If you say this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Well, we must be praying according to the will of God, because we can't get God to do something that's contrary to His will. Do y'all understand that? That He would be opposing His own will if He went contrary to His will. Brother John, you got a question? All right, we're going to get to that, because that's an important question, and that's the question, really, that we're going to get to. But first of all, let me say this about His will. His will is always best. And that's what you and I have to resign ourselves to. Because how could His will not be best? Because He is all-powerful, all-knowing. You know what our problem is? We are limited, extremely limited in what we know. He's all powerful, all knowing. He's everywhere. Listen, he's love. He's kind. He's perfect in holiness. He never makes a mistake. Never. God has never had to say, "Oops, I didn't mean that to happen." So everything He does is perfect, and by the way, it is best. Exactly. Now, that's hard sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Why is that hard, preacher? Because sometimes He does things that looks like it is horrible.
Painful.
Yeah. You know, I thought about David. David didn't suffer just because of his sin. How many of y'all know that?
Amen.
He suffered because he ran from Saul. Saul's jealous, tried to kill him. He had a lot of times where he was just in the pit. His heart was broken. He was just in great misery. He said, "God, I've cried out to you and I can't hear an answer. I don't know where you're at, what's going on." And this recently helped me, that in 2026, I'm reading those same words and I feel the same way. And a thought came to my mind, David went through what David did, not ever knowing, "God, what's this about?" Thousands of years later, someone's reading what he went through and they're getting help because they see what God did in David's life and they get blessed because of that.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how many times Job has been a blessing to the people who have gone through deep suffering. And so you and I must resign ourselves to know this, that I want to pray in faith, but that doesn't mean I'm going to order God around. That means that I'm going to find out what His will is and do my best to pray according to His will. Amen. So first, just remember His will is always best. His will, and also remember this, His will is not always done. Do y'all know that? Is God's will always done? Let me prove to you it's not always done. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is everyone going to be saved? No. So God has a will, and sometimes His will is not done. Why? Because His own people are not seeking that His will is done. We're busy about praying about a lot of things that we want, but are we praying about what He wants? Did y'all get that? Right? Is His will always done? No, sir, His will is not always done. Why? Because there's so many people that are disinterested in His will, and His church is not praying and seeking that His will may be done. Jesus taught us in the model prayer this: when we pray, we're to pray, "Thy will be done on earth." Now, I believe in heaven His will is done perfectly, don't you? But guess what? On earth, it's not always done. It's not even done perfectly in your life. Why? Because you may not even be seeking His will in prayer. How many of you, when you go to purchase a car, you say, "Lord, what car would you want me to purchase?" What should I go after? What should I, what do you want me to get? When you go to buy a home, Lord, where do you want me to live? I heard an illustration one time. A pastor was traveling with a dear Christian friend, and it was late at night, and he wanted to stop and get something to eat. And he said, well, let's stop and get something to eat. And he said, oh, that's fine, just pull over anywhere. And the man said, I know you're kidding. You're not serious about that. He said, we need to pray about where we need to pull over. And the man thought to himself, no, we just need to get something to eat. We don't have to stop and pray about where we're going to pull over and get something to eat. We just need to get something to eat. And he said, okay, well, let's pray. So they said, Lord, lead us to where we need to go. Give us a divine appointment. Help us to meet people that you're dealing with. They pulled off, stopped at an all-night place, and two truck drivers had pulled off the road. I'm trying to think of, it's the lawyer, David Gibbs. Brother David Gibbs gave this illustration. If you want to look it up, look up his name, you'll probably find it. And he said his friend, they got out of the vehicle, and they were getting some fuel, and these two truck drivers come driving up, and he says to them, sirs, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And he said those two men had a shocked look on their face and said, why did you ask us that? They said, we travel these roads every night. We get on to pass the time. We talk over the CB all the way. We never stop at this location. We were talking tonight over the CB, and we got to talking about if we died, where would we spend eternity? And he said, I told my friend, he said, look, I've got to get this conversation out of my mind, so let's just pull over and stop for a while and get something. And we get out of our vehicles, the first person we meet asks us, if you died tonight, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Needless to say, Brother David Gibbs' testimony was, in just a little while, both these men were kneeling on the wet asphalt, praying and asking Jesus to come in their heart and save them. Is His will always done? No. Why is His will not always done? Because, sadly, many of us are not interested in His will being done. That's why we're not praying prayers of faith and expecting that God works in our life. Let me also add this. Prayer, His will depends on our cooperation.
Yes, it
does. Now, you say, preacher, God does anything. He can do anything. Yes, He can. But He did not write John 3:16 in the heavens. Mm-hmm. You know what He said to us? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what He does is He works through His children to impact this world for the kingdom of God. And the reason He does that is He wants us to have an intimate fellowship with Him so we can have the joy of knowing God's real presence in our life and genuine fellowship with Him. You know what is tragic? Many Christians still almost or just a little above an atheist. Because they live their life as if there is no God. And you say, hey, when's the last time God done something in your life? And they say, well, preacher, He saved me. And when was that? That was back in, 1812. When saved back 1812. I got saved 1812. That is not Christianity. That's not what God intends Christianity to be. He intends for you to ask of Him, receive from Him, that His will would be done in this world. And Brother John asked, how can we know His will? His will is revealed through prayer. His will is revealed two ways. His will is revealed through His word. You say, preacher, how do we know what God's will is in His word? Let me give you one example. He says, take no thought what you shall eat or drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. I know what your needs are, and I'll meet those needs. But seek first the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're facing a situation when these resources are not available, it's God's will to meet these needs. You know, it's his will for us to be sanctified entirely, body, soul, and spirit. By the way, read through your Bible and see when he says, anytime he gives a command, that's his will. Anytime he says, this is my will, that's his will. And you could go through the Bible and start finding out what God's will is, and you could start praying according to his will. By the way, this is exciting to me if you have lost loved ones, because we know what his will is concerning your lost loved ones.
Amen.
What is that? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yes.
And he even said in Timothy, it's his will that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
This is a frightening thought. It's a frightening thought. Some perish because we did not intercede for their salvation? But some perish because we did not ask the Holy Spirit of God to open up their understanding to the truth of the gospel. And we cared more about our comforts than we did crying out to God. Crying out to God that God would somehow spare my loved one from the flames of hell. If we're not concerned about them going to hell, our lost loved ones will never be. How do I know what his will is? I know what his will is through his word. But listen to me. We also know what his will is through prayer.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what's the example of that? It's James chapter 1 again. If any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, and God will give you what? Wisdom. You say, let me try to make it personal. You know, when I broke my left leg, I fell in the shower, so it broke, and it broke real high up, almost at my hip. So a lot of times they refer to it just as a hip fracture, but it's not in my hip, it's close to it though. And I didn't realize it was broke. It just started hurting more and more and more, and Brenda kept saying, go to the emergency room, go to the emergency room, go to the emergency room, go to the emergency room. Go to the emergency room. Until I got up one Sunday to come to church and it said, pop. And I said, I got to go to the emergency room. So I went through surgery. We went through the pain of recovery. Went through the... And by the way, hospitals are not pleasant. Most of y'all know that. You have no privacy. Rehab centers are not better. I said, okay, we need to make sure you can take a shower when you get home. But you don't have to stand here and watch me. Oh, yeah. We don't want you falling. And we went through all of that. And now we find out it's broke still. And they got to do another surgery. God, what is your will?
That's right.
What are you doing? What are you trying to accomplish?
Amen.
My mother-in-law was facing breast cancer. And I love her. I love her just like she's my mama. And we got the report. She's got breast cancer and she's going to have surgery and chemo. And I went to my father-in-law, who was a pastor. I said, well, let's anoint her with oil and pray. And he seemed to be just kind of like, no. Just reluctant. I'm like, why are you so reluctant? I mean, she has to be healed. She needs to be healed. What is going on here? Why are you just like apathetic about it? And of course, if anybody was not apathetic about it, it was him. He loves her extremely. And she went through the surgery, went through chemo. They were doing a test, and they were trying to find if the cancer had spread to her lymph nodes. We're in the altar. I'm near Brother Otis, and we're praying. The test hasn't come back. They don't know what the test results are going to be. And he was praying. He said, God, I thank you. That test comes back negative. There's nothing in there. And I was like, what did he just say?
Believing.
Then they got the test results back, and they said, there's no cancer spread anywhere.
Amen.
It's clear. God. That's not what he ordered God to do. Would you listen to me right here real quick? That's what God revealed to him he would do. You hear what I said? That's what God revealed to him he would do. And when God revealed that to him, that's what he was going to do, then he could rejoice in the prayer of faith. Lord, thank you. When God makes something known to you, it's just as clear as if he had written it in the Bible. Amen?
That's right.
And God does make things known to us. Hudson Taylor's mother and Hudson Taylor's sister. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to inland China. He went into China to spread the gospel. And from like 4 years of age, when he was 4 years old, he said, I want to be a missionary to China. But he wasn't saved until around the age of 14. And his mother had been praying that he would be saved, earnestly praying. And his sister wrote in her diary, I'm praying every day that my brother comes to faith in Christ. Once his mother was away and visiting with some folks, and she had found that she had more opportunity for prayer. If you want to, you can read this, and it's Hudson Taylor's autobiography. It's a 2-volume set. And she was away visiting friends, and she had more time to pray, and she got a hold of God in prayer. And she was praying for her son's salvation. And at that time, in their home, far away, Hudson Taylor was in his dad's library looking for books to read. And most of them were religious books. He's like, oh, I don't want to read religious books. And so he couldn't find anything. He found some gospel tracts and he said, I'll just read a gospel tract. I'll get the little story. And then when they start preaching, I'll just discard it. And he got to reading the gospel tract and come across a phrase, Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient.
Amen.
And he said, it just rang true in his heart. Like, that means he's done everything.
That's right.
That means all I have to do is receive what he did. And so he prayed and said, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Now his mom's praying, and she has this strong assurance, your son is saved. And so she don't ask anymore. She just rejoices in prayer. Thank you, God, for saving my son. Thank you for saving my son. Thank you for saving my son. Hudson talks to his sister and says, Abigail, says, Abigail, don't tell Mama I got saved because I want to be the one that tell her that I got saved. So 2 weeks later, Mom comes home. And he runs out and says, Mom, I've got some wonderful news, great news. And she said, Son, I know, I know. Said, did Abigail tell you? She said, no, son. I was praying and God told me.
Amen.
That's the prayer of faith.
Yes, amen.
How can I know God's will? By praying and praying. You know what happens all the time? You say, preacher, why did he tell us to persevere in prayer? Because if we persevere in prayer, we find out what his will is. And then we can join him in praying his will. Amen? But if we don't persevere in prayer, we never know what his will is. And we can't join him. Amen?
Amen.
Prayer and faith is essential. Don't just pray. You have to pray generically sometimes for things, but start being more specific in your prayer. Asking God. If you don't know how to pray about something, say, God, show me what your will is here so that I can join you in praying about this. And I hope that helps some. Maybe we'll look at it a little bit later on as well. If you're here this morning and you're lost, This is the first prayer you should pray. Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. Guess what? If you ask Jesus to do that, He will by faith. Amen?
Amen.
You trust Jesus. He'll save you this very morning. And if you've not asked Him to save you, you need to. Amen? If you're a Christian here this morning and you need the Lord's help in some area, let me encourage you to come and pray. Maybe even if you need direction as far as what is God's will, pray that God will make that known to you. Amen. Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer.